Broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order, and we will start by taking the roll.
Senator Finley.
Senator Finley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner is present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Excused. He'll be joining us later.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. Okay, before we get started, I wanted to let people know that we are taking Senate Bill 806 off of the agenda. We'll put that forward to another meeting because there is another amendment that we want to add to that bill. So Senate Bill 806 will not be in work session today. And so I think because we have one bill for public hearing where we have witnesses, I think we will start off by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2446.
Madam Chair Burdick, members of the committee, this is Jamie McGovern. House Bill 2446 extends the sunset to July 1st, 2028, for property tax exemption for property of nonprofit corporation offered or occupied or used as low income housing. So essentially, there are many circumstances when charitable organizations using property for nonprofit uses is tax exempt. There is this part of the statute currently specifies that there are property tax exemptions if this nonprofit property is used for low income housing specifically. And this just would extend the sunset for that.
Okay. And I want to note that Senator Boquist is present, and I presume by audio. Senator Boquist, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, ma'am. We're having internet capability problems here.
Yes, indeed. Okay, thank you. Okay, we will start off with our witness list. Kristen Carl, who will be followed by Allison McIntosh.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Kristen Carley, and I'm here on behalf of St. Vincent de Paul Society of Lane County, Incorporated. St. Vincent de Paul is a nonprofit located in Eugene, Oregon. We provide shelter and emergency services for the homeless, low barrier employment opportunities through our waste-based businesses, and over 1,600 units of affordable housing, primarily in Lane and Marion counties. St. Vincent de Paul has been engaged in affordable housing development since 1988, and I personally have been for over 19 years. I would like to express St. Vincent de Paul's support for House Bill 2446. Not extending would directly impact approximately 131 units in our portfolio, located in both urban and rural areas. Residents who live in these properties vary from some of our most vulnerable, such as duly diagnosed chronically homeless veterans and seniors on fixed incomes, to folks working low-wage jobs like grocery and retail clerks, restaurant workers, home health care workers, and child care providers, among others. Property tax exemptions enable us to offer rents well below 50% of area median income. I'd like to note that 62% of our households across our entire portfolio have incomes below 30% of area median income, and most of those households lack rental assistance like Section 8 vouchers. In short, even with our very low rents, too many of our residents are cost burdened. Not extending the sunset really does impact these properties, St. Vincent de Paul, and our residents. I'd ask you to please consider that these properties were initially financially structured to assume that they would not have to pay property taxes because they were considered charitable purpose under 307-130 at the time they were built or acquired. Eliminating the exemption will increase operating expenses for projects that are already extremely difficult to operate because most are 30 years old or more and have very low rents. Increasing expenses means less money for other items such as regular maintenance, capital needs, and resident services. With increased expenses, St. Vincent de Paul must consider more aggressive rent increases, which is not helpful for our residents. Thank you for your time. And again, I urge you to support House Bill 2446.
Thank you. Senator Finley, you have a question?
I do, Madam Chair, and it's more for probably Ms. McGovern, if I could. Well, I fully support this bill, but I have one question. Is our covenants on this? So if a property is granted property tax exemption and it converts back to not qualified, if the institution's going to sell or do something with the property, is there a clawback of that property tax relief for a certain period of time? Some of the provisions in this said talked about a 60-year period, but I was curious as if for some circumstances, if they were to be sold, is there a clawback for that property tax exemption for a number of years or a period of time?
Senator Finley, I'm looking that up for you, and I might be able to have that by the end of the hearing. I'll note that these properties that are allowed the property tax exemption in this specific part of statute and the sunset extension in this specific bill, there's no new properties that can be added to eligibility for this program. So the revenue impact statement that came from the other chamber talks about the sort of narrow focus of property. So they had to have already had that properties tax exemption in 2012. And so I'll look at that the sort of movement going forward of what would happen if they would change, but they have to maintain that status as a exclusive use for low-income housing. But I might have the answer specifically by the end of the hearing. Otherwise, I'll get back to you an email.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other questions? I see no questions. So we'll take Allison McIntosh followed by Josh Graves.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. My name is Allison McIntosh, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Housing Alliance to express our support for House Bill 2446, which, as you've heard, extends the sunset date until 2028 for a property tax exemption for affordable housing. The Housing Alliance is a coalition of more than 90 organizations from all parts of the state, and we believe that all Oregonians need a safe, stable, and affordable place to call home. As you know, across Oregon, we don't have enough affordable and available homes for every household that needs one. For decades, though, many organizations across Oregon, affordable housing developers and public housing authorities, have been building safe, stable, and affordable homes. These rental homes receive public funds and, in exchange, follow strict rules about the incomes of people who qualify for the housing and how much rent can be charged. We have many local, state, and federal tools to help pay for the development of these apartment homes, although the need for these homes is far greater than the currently available resource. A typical affordable housing development relies on half a dozen or more of these funding sources or tools to make the project feasible. Property tax exemptions are one tool to help incentivize and make financially viable affordable housing developments across our state. Property tax exemptions are critical for several reasons. They recognize the importance of affordable housing in our communities and provide an ongoing financial subsidy to the project by lowering annual operating expenses. Without property tax exemptions, affordable housing developers would need additional resources to serve the lowest income members of our communities, and typically these resources would come from public entities. Because the rents are restricted to people with low incomes and because the regulations of funding sources generally don't allow it, the development can't simply raise rent to cover a significant cost increase. Prior to a development being constructed, developers have essentially solved a complex math problem, pulling together grants, loans, and other sources of funding to purchase the land, construct a building, and pay for its ongoing operations with the restricted rents that are paid by people who will ultimately live there. The property tax exemption supports that development and continued existence of affordable housing. This property tax exemption that you're considering today has a unique history, as you heard. Prior to 2013, many affordable housing developments qualified for exemption under ORS 307-130, which is the statute that allows nonprofit organizations to receive a property tax exemption. Whether a development received that exemption used to be a matter of local policy. So a local county assessor would have determined whether the project qualified under that statute or not. However, due to a change in policy by the Department of Revenue, local assessors began canceling property tax exemptions previously granted to these projects and began taxing them. but because these projects were financed and constructed with the assumption that they would remain exempt from property taxes, they couldn't simply just pay an increased bill of property taxes that was unexpected. They can't simply raise the rent to meet additional expenses, and this was an unplanned expense. As a result of this change in policy and subsequent tax bill, one nonprofit organization filed a lawsuit to challenge the change in policy. And the tax court found that the affordable housing developments did not meet the criteria for a property tax exemption under 307-130 because they received reduced rent. As a result of the change in policy, many affordable housing projects across Oregon in 2012 were suddenly faced with this decision of needing additional funds or having to close their doors. And as a result of those discussions in 2014, the legislature considered and passed House Bill 4039, which created an exemption explicitly for these properties. As Ms. McGovern said, it covers the properties that were covered under that exemption at the time. It does not allow for any new properties to come into this exemption. It was created in recognition that this affordable housing has been owned and operated by this nonprofit organization and continues to provide an important benefit for our communities. I think that I will end there, and thank you so much for your support today.
Thank you. Are there questions? I see no questions, so we'll move on to our last witness, Josh Graves.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, committee members. I am Josh Graves, the CEO of Catholic Community Services and Catholic Community Services Foundation in Salem, Oregon. We currently own 21 affordable housing properties that serve about 500 people in those complexes, and this bill applies to 17 of our older affordable housing complexes. Supporting this bill allows us to reinvest in the quality of these older complexes and really supports the community integration that this housing provides related to employment, transportation, education, and healthcare access, because many of the complexes that this exemption applies to are in an urban areas of Salem. Those supports really help care for the families and children that live in those units. And then this exemption also helps us reinvest those funds into tenant services and social supports. Affordable housing without social supports is sub-optimized, and so being able to reinvest in social supports really provides a lot of assistance. And those services reduce EMS, emergency medical services, and many other municipal services and or the costs associated with those services. So I respectfully ask for your support on behalf of our most vulnerable community members to support this 2446 bill and continue to care for housing for our neighbors.
Thank you. Are there questions? Okay, I see no questions, so we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2446. And we have another public hearing that'll be very quick. That's just our so-called vanilla reconnect, and that's House Bill 2457. So we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2457.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Yes, as was just mentioned, House Bill 2457 is the annual reconnect bill for this legislative session. And House Bill 2457, as you mentioned, Madam Chair, is being considered a vanilla reconnect bill, as it is moving Oregon's point in time connection, as this relates to the Internal Revenue Code, from December 31st, 2018 to April 1st, 2021. And the importance of the April 1st, 2021 change has to do with capturing all the most recent federal changes that were made. And not to go into too much detail, again, Oregon has two ways, really. Oregon primarily connects to the Internal Revenue Code. The first is the rolling reconnect, which is the definition of federal taxable income, and the secondary connection is this point-in-time connection that's in front of you in House Bill 2457. But the one policy I would highlight in terms of updating the connection point for Oregon does relate to the earned income tax credit. So there have been changes made recently at the federal level to the earned income tax credit. And those changes, by Oregon updating its point-in-time connection to this April 1st, 2021 date, would include then those federal changes to the earned income tax credit in Oregon's earned income tax credit. And that causes the revenue impact, and that you'll see in the revenue impact statement. I would just mention there is some material in the meeting materials related to all the sections in this bill. There are quite a few, but again, a lot of it is just updating that date change in various points of Oregon statute. So there's a section by section description of the bill. And there's also, as part of that document and OLIS, there is a listing of the earned income tax changes, with the largest of the changes being a temporary change to the childless earned income tax credit, or what's considered childless taxpayers. Those are taxpayers without dependents that are qualifying children in terms of the earned income tax credit. But again, that information is contained in OLIS, and then you'll see the revenue impact, again, is being driven by that update in the connection point and incorporating those policy changes at the federal level for the earned income tax credit.
Thank you, Kyle. And that's a very important aspect of this reconnect, and it's why it's important to get this done expeditiously. Probably should have been done before now. But it's my understanding that the Department of Revenue has been anticipating this bill so that the people who rely on the earned income tax credit will not be penalized by our being delayed after April. So are there questions from the committee? Okay, I see no questions. We will put this back on the agenda as soon as possible for a work session. But for now, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2457 and move into our work sessions. And Senator Boquist, before you arrived, I announced that we're taking Senate Bill 806 off of the agenda because it needs an amendment. I've been working with Senator Beyer on that, and we will bring that back to the committee as soon as possible. So we will move into, we'll just follow the schedule right now on the work session. So we'll open a work session on House Bill 2341.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, House Bill 2341 would authorize the tax collector in the counties covered by state of emergency declared by the governor due to Fire Act of God, the authority governor under Emergency Conflagration Act, who knows who has reason to believe property has been destroyed or damaged by fire of act of God, to prorate taxes on property. And all that means, there's a few things that go on in that bill. And what happens is, currently, there's a proration mechanism for property taxes if part of your property has been destroyed. And that, in the case of a declaration of emergency, this bill gives the authority of the tax collector to do the proration calculations in mass instead of under current law would require individual applications. And then there are some adjustments to the methods of calculation to align that with the loss of the property, and some additional administrative adjustments. And I think we might have a representative here to speak about that. And if not, I can speak a little more.
Okay, I do see Representative Marsh is present here, and thank you for bringing this bill, Representative Marsh. I will have to tell the committee that we have a related bill in our committee, Senate Bill 464. At one point, we were talking about combining them, and for a variety of reasons, we will deal with the issue, with the issues of Senate Bill 464 separately. And so I didn't want to hold up this bill for today. So Representative Marsh, do you have any quick comments that you would like to make, or would you want to just stand by for questions?
Now I'm on. Thank you, Chair Burdick. I'm really just here if there are questions I can answer. And we also have a representative from the assessors here for the really hard questions.
Okay. Well, we had an extensive public hearing on this bill, but if we have any more questions, now's the time to ask them. So are there questions from the committee? I see no questions, so I think we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2341 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I'll speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2341 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation. And discussion, Senator Boquist.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. House Bill 2341 had a lot of work and a lot of bipartisan and a lot of cross-county work go into it. I greatly appreciate all the effort of Representative Marsh. I do believe that we still need to address Senate Bill 464 at a later, sooner point in regards to Marion County, which I represent, and I'm happy to support 2341. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay. Will you please call the roll?
Senator Finley.
Senator Finley votes aye.
Senator Riley.
Aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist votes aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye. Senator Boquist, would you be willing to carry this bill?
Delighted, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close that work session and open a work session on House Bill 2607.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is Dave Babb, Legislative Revenue Office. So this bill is about granting authority to school districts in waiving construction tax on residential housing being constructed to replace residential housing on the lot or parcel of land that was destroyed or damaged by wildfire. We heard this bill in late April, and there's no known opposition. We have fiscal and revenue statement. Fiscal is no fiscal, and revenue is indefinite, indeterminate for your review.
Okay, thank you. Senator Boquist, do you have a motion?
Yes, ma'am. I move House Bill 2607 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2607 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? I see no hands up, so please take the roll.
Senator Finley.
Finley votes aye.
Senator Riley.
Votes aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist votes aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye. Senator Riley, would you be willing to carry this bill?
Of course.
Thank you. Okay, we will close that work session and open a work session on House Bill 2128.
Chair Burdick and members of the committee, this is Caitlin Harger with the Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 2128A establishes reporting requirements of tax professionals to the Department of Revenue in the event of a security breach that compromises taxpayer information. It outlines timing within the bill and then provides DOR rulemaking authority to adjust the timing of the statute based on current information available. There is no revenue impact and there is no fiscal impact.
Okay. Senator Boquist, do you have a motion?
Yes, ma'am. I move House Bill 2128A to the floor with a due pass, and I will speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2128A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, ma'am. As you will recall, Madam Chair, the issue was raised about where the CPAs are in this, because unfortunately, many times in committees, we have agencies coming forth and singing Kumbaya and Shangri-La. I want to report back to the committee. In this case, I guess it was Shangri-La, because I did, in fact, talk to the CPA Association. They are supportive of this, and we're in the loop. I would just encourage other agencies and supporters of the bill that when you have a group of individuals that are involved as the stakeholder groups that are in favor, it is always helpful to have them put something into the record for us so that we can confirm that. It's a good bill, should pass. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Other discussion? Okay, please call the roll.
Senator Finley.
Finley votes aye.
Senator Riley.
Votes aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist votes aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye. The measure passes, and Senator Boquist, at risk of overburdening you, since you did that extra effort, would you be willing to carry this bill?
Delighted, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You sound so sincere. Okay, we will close that work session and open a work session on House Bill 2330.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is Dave Back, Legislative Revenue Office. So this bill is about removing the sunset on governing laws on small school district grants and school district funding for foreign exchange students in dormitories, by thereby making these fundings permanent. And we have revenue statement and fiscal statement on all this for review. And we heard this bill last week, and there is all in support, actually. Thank you.
Okay, is there discussion? Senator Finley, this applies to your district, is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair. I have several dormitory schools in my district, so it absolutely does. I believe we had the Burnt River School District spoke in favor of this bill that in Unity, which is north of me, so.
Right, that was a good discussion.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, further discussion? I see none. Will you call the roll, please?
Ma'am, I need to make a motion first.
Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot the motion. Go ahead, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 2330A to the floor with a due pass, and I will speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2330 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any more discussion?
Yes, there is, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, as Senator Finley pointed out, he has other dormitories in his district, as do other members. And during the hearing, Senator Riley raised the issue again, how did we end up where we were? And as I pointed out, we ended up because we had no money. And so we basically put a cap on the foreign exchange students across the state. I think that Senator Riley and Senator Finley raise a good point. At some time going forward, it would behoove a revenue committee to go back and revisit the issue regarding the other dormitory schools that are in the state. And we've capped these. They were capped purely because of a budgetary constraint at the time. And I think we probably owe it to the school districts that have other dormitories at a future point to review this matter in terms of those dormitories who simply were not in the program. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? I see none. Now we can call the roll.
Senator Finley.
Senator Finley votes aye.
Senator Riley.
Votes aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Boquist votes aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye. And of course, we have a former school board chairman and chairman of the education committee on our committee. And we also have a legislator who has these schools in their district. So we'll go with the legislator this time. So Senator Finley, would you like to carry this bill?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We'll close that work session. And just as a reminder, we are carrying over Senate Bill 806, and we will take that up very soon, as soon as we get an amendment to it. So good work, committee. Oh, wait a second. We got one more bill.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yes, I think there's something else on the agenda, Madam Chair.
Yes. No, I just caught it. I caught it before you caught it, which is a first for me. So we will open up a work session on House Bill 3138.
Chair Burdick, members of committee, House Bill 3138 simply extends the time for filing an estate tax return after the decedent's death from 9 months to 12 months for all filers.
Okay, pretty straightforward. Are there, can we have a motion, Senator Boquist?
Yes, ma'am. I move House Bill 3138A to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 3138 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, please call the roll.
Senator Finley.
Finley votes aye.
Senator Riley.
Votes aye.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner votes aye.
Vice Chair Boqvist.
Boqvist aye.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick votes aye, and I will carry this one. Okay, I think that really does complete our agenda now. So thank you for your good work, committee. And Chris, when do we get to meet again? This committee, because we've got tax credits meeting tomorrow from what time, Chris? 5:30 to 7?
That's correct.
And then and on Friday from 3 to 5, is that correct?
Yes, 3:15 to 5 on Friday. And Senate Finance and Revenue, the time slot for this committee now is Monday and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And I suspect the committee will be meeting on Monday at 1. We just, the agenda needs to be determined.
Right. Okay. And we're on 1 hour notice now. So please pay extra attention anytime you see an LNAC email come through, because there could be some real surprises there. Okay. Anything else, Chris?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, committee. And we will adjourn. Thanks.